if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Do you know when the voice is going to speak?
Sometimes.
Does it ever say things just to you that you can only hear?
Yes.
Does it feel like it's coming from inside of you?
More like it's coming from behind me. Like I'm being used.
What does it say?
It said it wants to hurt you.
When did it say that?
Right now.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's the movie trailer for The Conjuring 2, a follow-up to another ghost story. Obviously, a horror movie. We're going to be reviewing that movie and talking a little bit about that genre of horror movies. It's one of my favorite genres, although I find that as I get older, I get less able to watch them. I usually have to pause them occasionally just to take a breath. And maybe that's why I don't ride roller coasters anymore either. I have a little more common sense than I used to. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our review of the movie The Conjuring 2, Terry Mattingly will join us. We're going to talk about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention that just concluded in St. Louis. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us to review the movie The Conjuring 2. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You do like going to a horror movie to riding a roller coaster, getting ready to ride the roller coaster and riding it. Why is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, generally speaking, people kind of know what they're going into if they're going to go on a roller coaster. They've signed up for the ride. They've paid their money. They're standing in line. They're going to go and do it. And you'll see people who really enjoy doing that, and then you see people in that same lineup who are there with their friends or feel as though they need to be there for some reason or another, and they're not so happy to be there. But they get on the roller coaster anyways. They do it. They're done. And then later in life, they decide, I don't like roller coasters. I'm not going on them anymore. And this is a little bit like what horror films are like. I recall back to when I went and saw the first of these Conjuring movies, and we were all corralled waiting to get in because it was general seating for the movie, and it had that same atmosphere of waiting to get on a roller coaster. Everybody there, it was opening night. Everybody there who was all pretty much there who wanted to see the movie and were looking forward to a good jump and a scare, which is kind of what happens on a roller coaster. You have your moments of fright and terror, but you're strapped in and you get out afterwards, and it's just been a ride. So that's kind of the analogy, I think. It's a pretty good one. Again, you know, there was a group of little, like young kids, maybe 14-year-old kids, boys all in a row, about three or four rows ahead of us, and they'd come in to see this movie, and they were kind of having this sort of fun, bubbly kind of experience through it, which is a weird thing because horror film by its, just the title of the genre itself is, it's intended to be a frightening thing. So there seems to be a strange disconnect that some people would find it enjoyable, but perhaps it's enjoyable because they know it's a movie and they are keeping it in the right kind of frame of mind as they sit down to watch it.
Now, you also say, kind of staying with the roller coaster analogy, that any kind of substance of Christianity that we might find in this film, The Conjuring, the first film, had some in it. And the second one, at least we had someone there invoking the name of the Trinity in the trailer that we heard. But it's about as tenuous as the theme of a amusement park roller coaster is to the ride itself. What do you mean?
Exactly. It's okay, so if you've been to Disneyland or Disney World, you can go on Space Mountain, right? Or you can go on Splash Mountain. You know, or if you go to Six Flags, they may have some themed roller coaster. Essentially, the roller coaster is the ride. The theme is just kind of slapped on the outside of it. And you really get that sense when you watch a movie like The Conjuring 2, that it's the excuse for the ride. And the reason I say that is because when watching it, I find a lot of stuff that just glances off the surface of Christianity, but never gets to the heart of what the real Christian message is when it deals with things like death, dying, the supernatural, life after death, demonic activity. It never gets to the heart of it. It only ever just uses it as the trappings on the outside. And I think that that is another kind of way in which it's like a roller coaster. So a roller coaster, the engineers sit down and they plot out where the loops are and the curves are going to be and how to maximize the speed and the rate at which people go through their frights and terrors and then get them out the other side. The same way James Wan, the director of this film, who also did movies like the Saw series and Insidious and different films like that, he takes the movie, the story, and he creates the twists and turns and the loops that maximize the frights at the right spot. So the pacing is like a scare pretty much every scene is what he's shooting for almost through the film. So there's a lot of twists and turns.
All right. Let's talk about the story that it's telling. It has a connection to the first Conjuring, which was kind of trying to tell a, what shall we say, loosely based in at least claimed reality story. What about The Conjuring 2?
Yeah, the first Conjuring movie, it was pretty tenuous, all of the stuff. The second one here, this is from 1977, is around the time when there was this family, the Hodgson family, who lives in the UK, and they lived in Enfield. And there actually became kind of a bit of a media circus around this particular case, a real-life case of this family, the daughter in the family, not the oldest daughter, but 11-year-old daughter Janet, started experiencing kind of poltergeist-related kind of activity. And then the whole family kind of got pulled into all of this. And there was even a police report. There was this is all stuff that actually happened. So there's a police report that was filed by police officers who went to the house and witnessed a chair moving on its own. And they couldn't figure out how it happened, and they just said, well, the law hasn't been broken here, but there's nothing we can do for you, and left. So there was this Society of Psychical Research that did a bunch of, this is like the 1970s even yet, so this is way before the rash of paranormal TV shows you get in the last decade or so. And these guys spent a good deal of time there with the family trying to get to the bottom of all of it. And it's a big, and some people believe this and some people didn't. And they made audio recordings. If you go on YouTube, you can find things, actual documentary footage and things like that. So the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are the heroes of the movie, The Conjuring 2, in actuality, they were there maybe for like 2 days, while this whole thing played out over months and months, and like a couple of years almost, I think. So they were really just briefly there. They're kind of interlopers. They showed up briefly. One of the researchers who was there, this guy, Lion Playfair, he he said that, you know, they were hardly here. I can barely remember any of it. They and Ed Warren said, I can make you a lot of money off of this, and he declined that offer. So they have, the Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are the main heroes of this particular film, have a very tenuous relationship to the actual events that really took place or were alleged to have taken place with this real family in the UK. But the movie kind of plays through that scenario that this starts to happen with the family, and they have to figure out what's going on, and you get all the bumps in the night and all of that kind of stuff, the ghosts and everything. Except in this particular movie, now you've got Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are like the knight in shining armor, who ride up and solve the day. And really, the story all kind of really becomes about them. And so it's very not connected to anything that could have or even was alleged to have happened.
So when we see this, just before we take a break here, when we see this notion, you know, and it'll say in the card at the beginning of the film, based on a true story or something like that, that should be taken with a gigantic bag of salt.
Yeah, a huge amount of salt, a mountain of salt. Don't get caught up in the claims that this movie is based on a true story. It is a fascinating actual story. The movie is not going to really tell you much about it. I put it together like this. It's like Abraham Lincoln is a real person, but then every once in a while you get a movie like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and of course we can be very certain that Abraham Lincoln didn't spend his free time fighting vampires with a silver axe. This is really far removed from the original any historical data you might have on the Enfield haunting.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie The Conjuring 2. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about it with him. Then Terry Mattingly will join us. We will be talking about media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, recently concluded in St. Louis.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie The Conjuring 2. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, you mentioned before the break that the Christianity figures into this, even though it kind of is a maybe a prop in this and the previous film as well. It's just a glancing consideration without getting at the very center of kind of the Christianity's answer to the dilemma that's presented here. Why is that?
Well, I think for him, like the director, it's a compelling story. He's using it to make his movie. He's made other horror films, but it just doesn't really, like, it's not a major concern. So because it's not a major concern, you don't get where it needs to go. And I don't know if James Wan is a Christian or not himself. I think he's from Indonesia. But here's a couple things that I noticed. So one of the things in the movie is there's a Lorraine Warren, the character, the lady, she's trying to get at this demon that's behind it all. This is the way the movie puts it together. And very clearly she says that they work this into the plot of the film, that you have to get the name of the demon in order to have dominion over it. Okay, well, that's interesting, but why is that the case? Well, this is where it becomes just a glancing blow, because the truth of it is that that's kind of something that's part of Roman Catholic exorcism practices over the past number of centuries. And the reason for that is that Jesus, in actually our gospel lesson coming up this Sunday, in Luke chapter 8, he's addressing this man who's possessed, and he says, "What is your name?" And then out pops the name Legion, because many demons have infested this man. And of course, that is a staple thing. It shows up in all sorts of horror films, but it tracks right back to Scripture. So here you have actually Jesus as the exorcist in the Bible. And this is where a movie like The Conjuring 2 never really gets at the heart of Christianity, who is Jesus. That is Jesus. Jesus is the heart of Christianity. So it never gets back to him. And there's a couple of spots where it could have, and it was like T-ball. It was just set up, and they could have knocked it out of the park, and it didn't happen. So there was another one of these investigators who was there, a man named Maurice Gross. And in real life, his daughter died, and he was hoping to have some evidence of life after death. And that's what he was involved in, why he was involved in this. And the same sort of thing is set up in the movie. And there is an opportunity for Lorraine Warren, and the Warrens are presented as devout Roman Catholics, an opportunity for her to say, well, you know, the better evidence of life after death is the resurrection of Jesus, but that never gets mentioned. You know, or there's another spot where Ed Warren is going to give his prized crucifix, which is more of a superstitious item. He's going to give it to this little kid, Janet, who's been the center of all of this haunting stuff. And he gives it to her and says, listen, my dad gave this to me when I needed it when I was young. And then when you find somebody, you give it to them. And it's turning it into a lucky charm. Instead of saying something as simple as, do you know who this is? Like pointing to the little crucifix. Do you know who this is? It's Jesus. He's already defeated the devil and death. Trust in him. And that's where, over and over again, it's teed up and they miss pointing actually back to the one who has dominion over all of these things by virtue of his death and resurrection. So it's only just glancing off the surface. They do a lot of things with Christianity in the movie, and it kind of swirls around the story, but you never really get at the heart of things, which is too bad. It would be really interesting if it had.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie The Conjuring 2 at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.